Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, Chris, I could not have wanted to be in Japan more on last Sunday.
What happened last Sunday?
There was Hospital. A big fight in a skyscraper on Sunday with 100 customers.
Yeah.
Appeared to be members of a group linked to the Yakuza. But they were having this big party, a big function. And 100 people had a big fight, which, you know, people have joked on Twitter that I think I did that in Yakuza, the video game. But it was just a mass brawl. And what made me laugh was, like, only a man was taken to hospital with a minor head injury, and a handful of others went to hospital. So it can't have been that, you know, heavier fight, let's say. 100
it
people
honestly
up.
Sounds
wow.
Like a scene out of Kill Bill Volume 1.
It's amazing.
When she's taking on the crazy 88 in that restaurant.
What a brawl.
It's got those vibes. Yeah, it was done at the rooftop bar, I think, of the Sunshine Tower, which is a tower in Ikebukuro.
Yeah.
And really iconic. It was one of Tokyo's first skyscrapers. And what a great place to have a mass brawl with the sprawling views of Tokyo outside the windows. But why did they brawl, Pete? What are your theories? You're a genius. Tell us what you think went down.
I think they were having a delicious, succulent Chinese meal. What is the charge? someone spanned the Lazy Susan too hard, and a bit of hot and sour soup got splashed on one of the eaters, one of the diners' top, and he got very upset. And then that's how it started.
One punch led to another.
Exactly.
It is rare to hear stories like this, though. Is it actually something to do with the Yakuza? I mean, that would make some sense.
I mean, I think 100 people getting involved in the brawl would suggest that it was clan-based.
Some criminal element. Yes.
I don't know, man. I mean, it seemed that way. You don't even get that in a video game most times.
No. That would make an incredible level for the next Yakuza game, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Fight your way out of the dinner, the Chinese meal. Dear, oh dear. I've just got back from not a brawl in Tokyo, but the Nakasendo Trail, beautiful route through central Japan, through South Nagano. It used to be, up until like 200 years ago, 150 years ago, there was only five ways to get from Tokyo to Kyoto. I learned this recently. It's really cool. The Tokugawa Ieyasu, the ruler of Japan from the 1600s, instigated this rule called the Sankin Kōtai, right? Mm. And basically, all the lords of Japan had to spend every other year coming to Tokyo and living with him and being in the Tokyo area. And travelling between their domain and Tokyo cost them enormous amounts of money.
Yeah.
And by doing that and having them nearby and having them blow all their money on this trip, it basically meant they couldn't raise funds to have a war against him, right? So we'd unify Japan. And so it's quite a clever move. And another factor was they made these sort of five routes. And again, it was all about control, really. But this route that we went down was one of the five, and it's the one that goes directly through the mountains, and it was absolutely stunning. And along this route, there's lots of little towns. There's 69 postal towns, or like stop-off points. 69. Somebody did that. Somebody thought that up, and rightly so. But we went to three of them. And they're absolutely beautiful. They're so well preserved, right? Sort of picture postcard places in Japan where you have all the traditional buildings, right? All the old wooden buildings. So well preserved. And yeah, it was just a really nice autumn trip. Although it was spoiled somewhat by the presence of Ryotaro and his loud, maniacal
Stop
ways.
Stop picking on Ryotaro. He works very hard on you.
Does he?
Around you.
Honestly. But Sharla was there as well. Could have been a romantic weekend if it was just Sharla. Alas, Ryotaro was there. The awkward third wheel. But no, it should be a good video. We haven't done much with Ryotaro recently. So I think it'd be good. But I meant, I actually bumped into some viewers because now Japan's been open for eight or nine days. And it's very exciting. I was walking down the through one of the towns, and a wonderful Argentinian couple were like, "Oh, Chris, wow, we just watched your videos, we're here, it's amazing to see you, let's take some photos." And these villages, obviously, you're supposed to trek between them, right? And I was in a town called Magome, and the next town's called Sumago. And you're supposed to hike or trek between them for about 3 or 4 hours, which they did very impressively. And I was like, well, I'll see you at the next town. I'm going in my car. And we've got a K car that I rented, and it took 20 minutes. So, ha, ha, ha. I felt very smug driving in my car while all these people hiked up this mountain. I was like, I'll see you in 3 hours' time. And so, I got there and ate my chocolate and beef while I waited for them.
So have you seen kind of, have you seen many kind of changes in how many people you saw? I think you mentioned a couple of weeks ago or a week ago that you saw a couple more people that you possibly thought were tourists in the middle of Tokyo. What's been, has there been any kind of like, we know for a fact what's going to happen. We spoke about this at length before. Like people will go to Japan. And the Japanese are in a very different place to America, very different place to the UK, very different place to Europe. There will be a bit of blowback and a bit, you know, there'll be some growing pains about. And I think there's probably something that the Japanese can probably learn from the rest of the world in this situation, you know, being a little bit more understanding about how it works elsewhere. But have you sort of seen any blowback, any sort of squabbles, any kind of like, you know, weird stuff happening here and there?
It's been pretty encouraging so far, I think. Well, encouraging, I say, like all the bloody hotels I normally stay at are full because they're now people are coming back, so that's encouraging. I did hear that numbers aren't quite as high as Japanese tourism organizations had hoped. Like they, I think they just expected a flood of tourists and everyone would live happily ever after, but it hasn't been the case. You know, the numbers are still pretty damn low relative to what they were. Because you do have to prove you've had vaccines or you do have to have a test before you come to Japan, and those two things are enough to put off a lot of people. But also China, which was Japan's biggest source of foreign tourists, is still not open, so they can't come over, so that's a factor. But for the most part, it's very encouraging. I have seen definitely a lot more Western foreign faces around Tokyo, and it seems to be some recovery. It seems to be pretty encouraging. We just need you to come back to sweeten the deal.
Sweeten the deal for everyone.
Bring back Donaldson.
Bring back
when are you coming?
Bring back Donaldson.
When are you coming?
As soon as I can.
When are you coming?
As soon as I can.
Come now. 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 I hope to see you soon, though. It'll be good. It's going to be be really trippy. I think I was talking to someone the other day, or I was doing a live stream, I forget, and someone was like, you know, does it feel different? I said, it will feel different the day Pete Donaldson is
damn
in
right.
town.
Damn right.
That's when I'll know that the peasants are allowed back in. Because that's when you know that the doors are open. Any old person could turn up, right? When Donaldson's in town. But no, I'm looking forward to it. We've got a story this week from Seoul, who says, "Hi, Pete and Christopher. I visited Japan a couple of times before the pandemic, and my trip and back in 2019 saw my friend and I passing through Takayama in Gifu Prefecture. We'd both split off for the day so he could explore some climbing routes while I engaged in less motivated activities. On a whim, I spotted a random patch of green on the horizon and started walking towards it. There was a very faint path leading up the hill, and driven by some inexplicable and foolish desire to reach the top of this hill, I set off on all fours, climbing further towards the top, and to my surprise, came across a rather large and well-kept path. Following the path around, I found a number of beautiful sites, picnic benches, shrines, and other significant points of interest. Crucially, however, there were absolutely zero other people. I spent the next couple of hours walking along this path, taking in the sights, and even stopping to eat my pat lunch. Eventually, I came across what looked like the entrance to a woodland area, except the gate was completely locked and wrapped in yellow tape. With no other route out of the park, I awkwardly climbed over the gate, while a Japanese family watched aghast from the parking lot on the other side. Turning around, I saw a large yellow warning sign with a picture of a bear on the front. I began to realise my mistake. Later that day, while eating dinner back at the hostel, I told a worker about my unlikely adventure, and he angrily informed me that the park had been closed to the public due to numerous bear sightings recent weeks. Oops. Owing to the hostel worker's anger, I do have some mild residual guilt from this incident. But I do maintain that my initial entrance into the park was wholly unobstructed, aside from being atop a rather grueling hill. What do you think? Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. All the best. Sol. And, you know, Takayama's a beautiful town. I went there with Joey on Journey Across Japan 2. It's surrounded by mountains and there's lots of bears. And actually, while I was on the trip with Ryotaro, which wasn't too far, the Nakasendo Trail is not too far from Takayama, we actually ate a bear. We ate bear again. It was unbearable. Oh. It was good, actually. Tasty bear. So did just you eat the bear, Sol.
Well, we've obviously been, I think last week there was, or earlier this week, there was that video that was coming out of that that climb. It was down in Kyushu. It was where Kyushu kind of opens up, isn't it? That part of the world. It was halfway up a wee hill, climbing the cliff, and a bear just sort of said hello. But he managed to fight him off by bonking it on the head with his foot and his fist. It was a very, very frightening situation. But like we spoke about before the show, he didn't have any bear spray with him.
He was lucky it was a black bear. If that was a brown bear he was kicking in the face, the bear would have like ripped it off. You can, the black bears, as we've mentioned before, you can punch them in the face if they attack you. Don't go out and punch a bear.
No.
But like, not by you choice. Know, just get the bear spray. Get the bear spray. I feel like it's a bit odd that the person got angry at Sol for going this way. Maybe it was more the concept of just breaking past a sign. But like, yeah, just don't need to feel guilt there, Sol. Your sins are absolved. The only time you need to feel guilt is if you like go into a shrine and knock all the crap over and smash everything up, and don't do that. That's bad. And I know someone that did knock over an ornament filled with ashes once. So don't do that. No. Be careful. Now, we got a story this week that's better than bears. What's going on with Japan and its new laws that are finally coming up into the 21st century, Pete?
Yeah, well, I would speculate that the rights of bears are probably respected in a more stringent way than the rights of women in Japan.
Certainly
once
in Japan,
again,
yeah.
Once again, there's not a single week that goes by where we don't hear about gay rights, trans rights. This week, the women are having a pop. Japan are thinking, Chris, about finally abolishing that law that bans women only from remarrying soon after divorce. If you were married in Japan and you decided to get a divorce, your divorce is ratified. No fault, some fault, however it works. The divorce is ratified. You can go out the very next day, get your top man suit on, put a bit of aftershave on, and get married that same day, like the second day, the day after. Women, though, they have to wait. There's a cooling off period, like buying an airline ticket or a fridge. Women are prohibited under Japanese law from remarrying within 100 days of a divorce.
Only you can compare divorce to buying a fridge.
Well, you know. It's incredible. So apparently there's a mandatory waiting period for women to remarry in the first place because they tried to eliminate possible paternity questions. The thinking is that if a woman quickly remarries and then has a child, it might cause confusion as to who the biological father is. I mean, it's it assumes that the divorced couple are having sex right until the last day of their divorce, which is not usually how it works, to be quite frank. And it also fails to account for the possibility that a woman might get remarried and not have a child soon after. It's just atrocious, really, and not really a law fit for the modern world we live in. But again, just a lot of fun to hear these little laws that I had no idea existed, just getting repealed, or people thinking about getting them repealed. But the thing that makes me laugh when these are discussed in the House of Parliament in Japan, there's always some daft arse who insists on kind of arguing the toss and saying, no, I think it actually should stay the way it is, actually, for this reason. Mm. And, oh, good on you, mate. Good on you. If you can find a reason that you know, takes into account stuff like DNA tests, you fucking go for it, you absolute maniac.
There's always some twat who still thinks it's 1926, isn't there?
Correct.
I mean, at the grand scheme of things, the reason this law probably wasn't changed is it affects almost no one every year.
Yeah.
First of all, divorce rates are very low in Japan relative to the West. Even though, you know, a lot of couples do have great struggles here, they just stay married, and it's quite a taboo to get divorced, right? I mean, that's Asian culture in general, from what I understand, but certainly in Japan, it's just seen as something you don't really do, apart from under extenuating circumstances. So I think it probably affects a very small amount of the population, and that's why they haven't changed it. Regardless, though, it is ridiculous, and it's the last time this law was changed, it's the first time it's happened since 1898 that the civil law code is going to be changed potentially. So it says here, the revision would be the very first change to the presumed legitimacy law since Japan first created a civil law code in 1898, following the end of the feudal shogunate government. And again, because Japan is ruled almost exclusively by men, look at any photo of the politicians that rule Japan, and it's like, where's Wally trying to spot female in the staff, because they're so few and far between, unfortunately. Where's Waldo, for American listeners? I still find the name Waldo very, very unsettling. Have you ever met anyone called Waldo in your travels around America?
I know we're going on a bit of a segue here. No, never met a Waldo. I don't think I've ever met a Wally. I'm sure Wally in my life would probably
met a Wally.
Present itself. Walter? Do I know Walter? I don't think I know, even know Walter. Yeah. Weird.
Walter, Waldo, Wally. All.
All gone.
All terrible. No, Walter's a good name. We're going off on a tangent here. A massive tangent. You'd have to be a Wally to want to keep this fucking law in place, though. Honestly. But there you go. Japan, social mobility, divorce, gender equality, things that are still very far behind, unfortunately. And even though Shinzo Abe, who, you know, what during his tenure he wanted to try and boost gender equality, he kind of failed on a spectacular level. So still a lot of work needed there. Still a lot of work needed. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the Fax Machine.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Donaldson.
Oh, we got a message from Chris G. Hey, Chris G. Hello, Kairomachi? Chris and Pertinent Pete. I'm from Indiana in the United States, and I love the podcast. I've been trying to teach myself Japanese, and I recently had a dream in Japanese. It was very strange, and I was wondering if either of you have ever dreamt in Japanese before, and if so, what was it like? Much appreciation, Chris G. I remember like somebody speaking Japanese in a pool once in my dream, and I understood, you know, they were just saying the normal things you would say at a restaurant in Japanese, helpfully. And I said, oh, I understand that. So, and I was really impressing myself in the dream, let me tell you.
What an amazing dream.
What an amazing dream.
My image of you having a dream in Japanese is just you at a bar in Fukuoka going, Chigaimasu!
Correct.
Namabiru! Chigaimasu!
Yep.
I do dream in Japanese occasionally. It's not very sophisticated Japanese, but... Yeah, honestly, when you've lived in a country and learned the language to some degree, I think it's inevitable. If I have a dream with like Natsuki in it, then obviously there's going to be some Japanese in it. But they're very boring, and it's usually like, do you like cats? Yes. Neko ski desu. Neko ski. It's very simplistic dreams. It's not anything good, unfortunately. although meeting Ken Watanabe, that felt like a dream, and I used a little bit of Japanese there. We got one here from Derek. He says, hey, Chris and Pete. Now that Japan is open back up, what do you think of the influx of inevitable vloggers and filmmakers trying to become the next Chris Broad? Is this something you welcome? Thank you for inspiring all the locations I'll be visiting next year. All the best, Derek from Canada. It's a good question, actually. I don't think they should be allowed in. I think I want a monopoly. I want to keep my monopoly or oligopoly because there's a few vloggers doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know. My philosophy is if someone could do it better, let them come and do it and do their best. Try your best. Try to defeat me like a boss level that is rubbish. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I actually wanted to collab with certain YouTube creators coming to Japan that couldn't come in. I'm not going to name names, but there's been a few that wanted to come here and hang out, and they haven't been able to come here. So with the country now open, the floodgates are open, lots of vloggers can come and we can hang out. So yeah, I'm up for it. I don't think it's going to be a threat to abroad in Japan. Famous last words there. They're going to come in and my channel's going to get destroyed. What do you think, Pete? Do I need to worry? Should I hire some hitmen to sort out these vloggers?
No more than usual. You should basically make a video about like a shed on some waste ground, and sort of go, oh my god, guys, I've just been to this amazing shed on some waste ground, oh my god, and the things in here are absolutely crazy, and then everyone flocks to this piece of waste ground and it's your shed and you're just in there with a cattle prod and a shotgun just absolutely blast each and every one of them in the face. Goodbye, oh, competition, baby.
You've been playing too many violent games on your PlayStation again, Pete.
Correct.
Honestly.
Correct.
It's quite a good idea, though. We got one here for you, Pete. Over to you.
Okay, then. Hello to Unamandla from the Rainbow Nation. Oh. Hello, Peony Pete and Chrysanthemum Chris. My name is Unamandla. Pronounced Una Mandla. Just Uno for short, and I'm from South Africa. As of writing this, I just submitted my application to the JET programme. We all know Chris put Kobe on his application, but after all these years, I want to know what three prefectures or cities a starry-eyed Chris would have put on his JET application in 2012 if you knew then what you know now. Kind regards, Una Mandla from the Rainbow Nation. Chris, what would you have put on your JET application if you knew what you...
Very good.
Una said,
I would put somewhere like Osaka, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, because I like that part of Japan, and I never get to go there because there's a big divide in Japan between east and west, right? If you live east of Nagoya, you never get to go past that. West of Nagoya, you never go towards Tokyo either. I don't know. Osaka, that's number one. Maybe Fukuoka. Everyone loves Fukuoka. And look, I even though it's a very weird choice, I feel very lucky to have been placed in Yamagata Prefecture. It is a really nice place, and I had the most amazing experience there, and an experience that most people don't get. So maybe not Osaka, maybe places like Fukuoka, maybe places like Ehime with the city of Matsuyama, or Kagoshima, or Yamagata. Places that, unfortunately, other jobs don't exist, right? There's only certain jobs you can find outside of cities in Japan, usually teaching jobs like JET, right?
Yeah.
And that means you can experience places like Yamagata. There's no jobs in Yamagata for foreigners outside of teaching, unfortunately. Very few and far between. So hopefully you get placed somewhere like that. Kagoshima, Yamagata, and Ehime. Those are my three. Una Mandla. Best of luck to you, though. Good luck with the application. I remember writing mine 11 years ago. I must have been now. I still vividly remember it. Best of luck to you. I do know a few South Africans who were successfully able to get on. So, best of luck to you. Good luck.
I think, sort of think with, like, living in where you lived for your placing, obviously, in the JET programme, sort of think that I would have found that very difficult because it's so quiet. But I think being placed there would probably make you a bit more willing to get out there and meet people rather than if you're placed in, like, Tokyo or Osaka. Like, it's just so much noise that you would probably find that you wouldn't be... You probably wouldn't... Would you have started a YouTube channel if you were in somewhere a bit busier where you had a little less time, a little more kind of... A little fewer resources to make your channel?
Yeah, no, I would have. The channel was going to happen no matter what. And it might have been more successful if I was somewhere like Tokyo. There's a reason all the YouTubers live in Tokyo or Osaka. I think you would have been all right living in Yamagata, where I live, for like a year or two. I think you would have left after 2 years, though.
See ya.
I know that look on your face. You wouldn't have done it.
No.
But I'm like a country person. I love the countryside. I don't like cities that much. And I was really in my element there. But it's just, unfortunately, if you want to build a YouTube empire, you've got to run to the city. Yeah. And even though I was able to escape the magnetic pull of Tokyo, I still have to spend a great deal of time in Tokyo because that's where things happen. In the same way, people have to spend a lot of time in places like London or New York, whatever. But I feel very lucky the way things worked out. But try and avoid the big cities. And I'm lucky that I didn't end up in Kobe in hindsight. As lovely as it is, I was certainly, in hindsight, I wouldn't want to live there now because it is a big, sprawling city and it's hard to come up for air in a place like that. It's so damn intense.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you, though, Una Mandla. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, do all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be listening from, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.